Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, people? I'd like to welcome you all to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tay Real. Nizzy Nate is in the building.
What's up, everybody?
And we are back. Typically, we don't do shows on Sundays, but we decided that instead of opening up the next show, the Monday show, finishing what we talked about on Thursday's show, which is racism in America, we said we were just going to go ahead and do a quick little one-hour show today about, you know, just finishing where we left off, because we didn't get a chance to really, really wrap things up and really finish saying everything we had to say. Now, recently, one of the jurors came out, a new juror came out about the Trayvon Martin trial, and she, I was just talking to Nizine about this before we came on air, and Nizine saying that she wasn't, you know, didn't know about it, but a new juror came out and spoke on the verdict. I thought it was pretty interesting because, you know, her whole approach was like, well, she came out, she spoke out to because she felt bad, and she wanted the Martin family, Trayvon's mom and dad, and wanted the family and the people to know that, you know, she does care and she feels really bad about it, and she wanted to speak out. So she didn't hide her face like the last juror did. She actually came out, showed her face and everything. It was the anyone who's been following the Zimmerman trial knows that it was 5 white female jurors and 1 female Hispanic juror. And this was the Hispanic juror.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was the Hispanic one. And I was really surprised, like, you know, that she came out and really showed her face. I got to give her credit because, you know, this is such a big trial. But I guess she don't feel like, you know, it's not really too much to lose, because she kind of, like, she, where she stands is kind of like, she kind of, she's supporting the Martin family, and she thinks Zimmerman is wrong, but based on the law, this is what she was saying, based on what the law states, it would have been unlawful to convict him, because the law is written in such a way that convicting him of manslaughter, because the second degree was like pretty much, it was pretty far-fetched. So convicting him of manslaughter pretty much would have been unlawful. It wouldn't have been applying to what the law states. And that was her reason. So she was pretty much saying that, you know, she wanted to see him go to jail. And she said she was the one that held out. Like, she was the one that was, like, you know, holding out. So I guess, you know, we were sitting there waiting all these hours, and they came back and asked the question. She was the one that held out, that, you know, would have probably been over. So it's crazy, because when they went to go deliberate, I'm thinking that most of those jurors had their minds made up already, especially the other juror that spoke out. So I don't know. That was like, wow, like, you know. I don't know. What you think about it, Nizzy Nay? She's saying that she, you know, she wanted to do that. She wanted to speak out. She didn't want to hide her voice. She's not looking for a book deal. She came out, showed her face, and was like, you know, she wants Trayvon's mom to know that, like, you know, she does care. They're not alone. And that she said that she's hurting as bad as Trayvon's mom is about it, because it really affected her. Those were her words. How do you feel about that?
I can honestly really respect her for that, for even coming out and then not hiding. You know what I mean? She showed herself, and she apologized. Like, I understand what she's saying. Like, Florida's law probably is totally different than other places. And it just reminds me of, just like I was saying, like, the Casey Anthony, everybody wanted her to be guilty too, but by law, can you really convict her of, you know, first-degree murder? Do you have enough evidence for that? When you break everything down, And sometimes you have to do what you have to do. There's really not much you can really do. So I commend her for even coming out. For real. Because that other lady, she probably blocked herself because she felt so strongly about Zinnerman. Like, she was talking like she was in love with him or something. So she felt so strongly. She probably knew if she revealed herself that people would probably be attacking her. Because there's so many people
because of her approach.
Yeah, and most likely probably people would. People would look at her differently because of it. So I commend her for doing that. And I'm really shocked that she was Hispanic, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really shocked. Wow.
This is juror B-29. The first juror that spoke out was juror B-37. This was juror B-29.
I bet you you'll see at least one or two more jurors come out. I don't know if they'll reveal themselves, but I think they're at least going to be one or two more that's going to reveal that they're at least going to speak out on the case.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I don't know. I do commend her for, you know, having the courage to come out and speak on it. And her whole thing was she wanted to, you know, speak out and be heard. And I guess she wanted to show her face to let people know that she's not ashamed of what she thinks. She feels strongly in it, and she's voicing her opinion. So I commend
right.
her for that. I give her credit. But at the same time, her whole approach, her whole thing is like, you know, she wants to, like, add some closure to it. And, you know, she wants, like, you know, she has good intentions on it. And I think that, like, she's thinking that, like, that will have a positive impact, but that's not the case. Like, that is throwing salt in the wound, gas in the fire. Like, the fact that, you know, I don't know, like, I'm thinking, like, if I'm Trayvon's dad, you know, picture you're Trayvon's mom and I'm Trayvon's dad, and it's like, well, I really wanted to convict them, but I couldn't. It's like, I wouldn't feel good about that. Like, that would not make me feel better. That would be like, okay, well, you're saying that your heart is all with me and all of this stuff, but if that was the case and, you know, you got love for Trayvon and all of this stuff because you got kids and all of this stuff, but at the end of the day, it could have been a mistrial because she was holding out, but she decided that based on the law that it would have been unlawful, so you know, she agreed with them, and then that's when it was finally unanimous. But it could have been a mistrial, just like the Jody Arias. You know, they couldn't agree. Instead of them forcing someone forcing their verdict, it was just a mistrial. And I would rather see that. I'm pretty sure that they would have been a little stressed about, the Martin family would have been a little stressed about it being a mistrial, but that would have been better than him walking.
It would have been more fair. It would have been more fair because then they could have picked, you know, different jurors. They could have did a better job of picking different jurors, and then people could gather up more evidence, and they could have had a better fighting chance.
It still was the possibility that they wouldn't have been able to. They wouldn't have found him guilty, but it just would have gave another opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I respect her for coming out, but I just personally really feel like that it didn't help, and I'm pretty sure if people, like, if Trayvon's mom spoke out about it, I'm pretty sure that she would, you know, she might well respect her for voicing her opinion. Maybe she would. Who knows? But I don't think that she would say, well, that really did help me have closure. I mean, if you were Trayvon's mom, would you feel like that helped you have closure, her coming out saying
No.
that?
No. I would have I would have respected her more if she was that one person that just stood her ground.
Exactly.
That really stood her ground and said, no, I'm sorry, I can't agree with you guys. I feel a certain way about this, and I'm gonna say guilty until I don't care if it's a mistrial. Like, I'm going to stand my ground. She's basically saying just because they said not guilty, she just went along with it. Like,
she said she held her ground as long as she could, but then after she just, you know, they deliberated for, what, 16 hours? And it finally just sunk into her that based on the law, you know, you got to set aside emotions and do it based on the law. And based on what the law says, that there's no evidence that he, you know, he, like, shot Trayvon in cold blood. Like, he intentionally wanted to do it. So it's basically saying that, you know, they buy the whole self-defense thing. Like, he had to do it. They pretty much, that's pretty much when you're saying not guilty, that's pretty much what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
he said it's the truth, and he had to do it. Like, yeah, exactly, so.
Well, which they really don't even know if that was the case either.
Yep, and then he made out by not having to testify. That's I don't know, that's, you know, that's crazy. You know, it's done and over with now, and it's time for people to move on, but it's just, it is a tough thing to swallow. Like, I can only imagine being the family, because that affects me. That affected me, and I don't know him or anything, but, you know, the way this trial has been aired on TV, you can't help but to get attached. And, you know, we were speaking on that on the last show. So it's like you almost can't, it's like you can't talk about racism in America without speaking on that. So I just want to take this opportunity to say, like, you know, basically, as far as to the Martin family, like, you know, I've just, you know, condolences definitely, and, you know, definitely, you know, can't say that, you know, like, we relate. You know, I think some people are like, oh, yeah, I know exactly. No, you don't know exactly how they feel. But, I mean,
right,
as a person, not as a relative, someone that knew Trayvon personally, but as a person, as a human being that has feelings and emotions and dealt with loss before, I understand that portion, that aspect. My condolences
right.
are definitely, you know, with the Martin family, and they're in my prayers. And, you know, even to the Zimmerman family, to everybody, because you know what? Even though I don't like the whole idea of what happened, at the end of the day, it's still human beings. And, you know, you should, you know, you got to be able to, you know, forgive people for a higher purpose. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be one judge on everything. You know, and I'm pretty sure that family went through a lot and was stressing. And, you know, so it's a crazy situation. So condolences definitely to the Martin family, though. And, yeah, but, that freaking Crystal Wright, back to her, Nizine, it's time for a bash fest. That Crystal Wright, like, it just irritates me so much. Like, I couldn't leave it alone. Like, I couldn't leave it alone, Nizine. Like, this woman, man, like, The message that she puts out, like, what she has to say about black people and her being black is just, I don't even know where to start. Like, it just irritates the crap out of me, you know, for someone to really, like, you know, call themselves trying to make a difference, but going about it in such a negative way, like, degrading your own kind is just crazy to me. Like, I don't know this and that. Let me get my thoughts together. You take over for a second, because it just irritates me. It does, and it really irritates me.
I mean, it is. I don't understand how somebody is black themselves and just saying so much negative out of her mouth constantly. Like, there's no breaking through to her. Like, she just believes that half of the people that are in prison are black, and she's just, I don't know what is wrong with her. I really maybe she got beat up by black kids when she was younger, and now she feels some way about it. I don't know. That's the only thing I could come up with. Or I don't know. I don't even think she's fully black. To be honest with you, I don't even think she's fully black. I think she's got some kind of like mixture in her. She's got to have a little bit of white in her too.
And regardless, I just mean the message that you're giving out is like every time they're having a discussion, every time they're on the panel, it's just like, well, black people are always doing this and doing that. It's like I don't understand how your approach, and you have, you're on television, you're on live television, you have, you know, millions of people watching you, and this is your opportunity to represent for the people and speak on some things, and you know, you got everybody's attention, and your approach is to just beat down black people. Like, it's crazy to me. I mean, like I said before on last week's show, anyone who could agree with Frank Taffy, like, if you can agree with him, I mean, what is that need more be said? I mean, you're a black woman agreeing with racist Frank Taffy. Like, really? Like, the words "I agree" and Frank Taffy should not even be able to come out of your mouth if you are black. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, and you know, the, because then she tries to say that she's, you know, she's saying she's for the people. You know, and I'm just like, how can you, you know, how are you for the people? Like, there's no way. Like, you are, it's self-inflicting racism is all it is. And I just hate to see that. It's so much racism going on right now. I mean, and keep in mind, even though we know there's a lot of racism going on right now, we still have made progress. So I can't stress that enough. Like, people need to realize that progress has been made. It's not as bad as it used to be. You know, people see things happen sometimes, and they feel like, okay, everything is at rock bottom, worse than it's ever been, it's the end of the world. I mean, we deal with stuff all the time. We're dealing with a lot of issues in life. And racism is another thing to go along with it. But it has gotten better. That's all it is to it. It's gotten better, you know.
Yeah.
But,
It definitely has gotten better.
Yeah, it definitely has. But it's still an issue, too. You know, so you got to acknowledge that it has gotten better, but it is still an issue. And
it's
sitting on and getting on TV. Say that again?
It's always going to be an issue.
I mean, yeah, because you can't, you know, it's billions of people in the world. Like, you can't control how people are going to think what they think. People are going to do what they do. You know, you're never going to be able to control what people say, do, think. But, you know, you can always try to, together, people can come together and try to make a difference and try to change the odds, change the statistics. That's what you can change, you know. You can win some people over. You won't win everybody over, but you can win some people over. But getting on TV to degrade your own kind is not winning people over. Sitting there frowning your little face up, scrunching your face like, it's irritating. Like.
And then on top of that, she has a freaking website, Conversationist, for black women. Like, really? What is that about? I need to go to that website and see what it's all about. Have you been to that website?
I haven't been to the website, but you know what? I might actually go to it, too. All it's going to do is make me mad. I already know all it's going to do is it's probably irritate me even more. Conservative black chick. The words black and chick should not be mentioned in the same sentence with her. Like, how do you even have the, you don't even have the right, like, to say that, you know? Like, because that's like saying you part of you with the people. But how are you with the people if your whole thing is, your whole deal is self-inflicting racism? You know? You're a member of the Sir group, you know? So it's no, like, you're not for the people. You're against the people. Like, you know, you're with the Frank Taffys of the world.
Right.
And I would say that with anybody, you know, like anybody. It's just that she just so happens to be the one that has the stage. It's anybody listening now, you can find out, you can YouTube it. She's like a 2-hour discussion or debate on stage with Al Sharpton and a few others, you know. And don't, you know, hey, if you don't know who we're talking about, go listen, go check out some of her interviews, her debates, her discussions, and you decide for yourself. I don't like anyone that feels that, like, anyone who carries themselves like that, I don't like it. Like, it would be the same, like, even if, you know, a white person was saying that about other white people, I would still be like,
right,
that's stupid. Like, how can you feel that way about
your own
people?
Time.
Like, yeah, and, like, how do you feel like that's helping? Like, how is that helping? Like, I don't understand, like, how you think that talking about, you know, everything is about statistics, black people do this, being in jail, and it's like, I'm probably repeating the same stuff I said last show, but it's just irritating. Like, I can't stress it enough. Like, I could, certain stuff just irritate me. I don't like people beating down on people, like, kicking, like, you know, people already upset about this, you know, other stuff that's been going on, the Zimmerman stuff, other trials and stuff that's been going on. It's like, this is not the time to be saying this stuff, you know.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't help. And the things that she's saying aren't all, the stuff that she's saying isn't all true. You know, like statistics, like, you know, this amount of people, black people in jail, like, that's, you don't know that, 55% of black people in jail. Like, how do you say that? Like, back that up. Please confirm.
And we can say 50% of white males are pedophiles. Or rapists. Because
yeah, it's
there are a lot of white men that are rapists and molesters and all that. I mean, that's all you really see. Like, I've seen a lot of that.
But on the news, you always hear about black people. You know,
yes,
this black guy shot this other black guy or shot in this,
yes,
neighborhood. And, you know, like,
yes,
gang activity and this and that. But
yes,
all the cultures in America are involved in criminal activity. You,
yes,
know? Like, it's in every culture. It's in every race, like, you know. And so like, you know, it's criticism going on, like, that, you know, black people are complaining and whining about, you know, well, I mean, you got to look at it, like, you know, black African-Americans do get kind of singled out. I mean, based on, like, the media, like, you know, like, you do kind of get singled out. I mean, if it's a high-profile case, then it's a high-profile case. It's going to be talked about. As far as, like, local media and stuff, what they're talking about is all the stuff that happens in urban communities, you know, all stuff that happens in urban communities. The hood,
yep,
basically. It's like, you know, it's all about that. You know, if I turn on the news right now, they're going to be talking about this block, somebody did this, you know, but it's stuff going on in other communities, too, that's not the black communities, you know. And you could always talk about positive stuff, too. You don't have to talk about the negative stuff.
Right.
You know, like, you know, so that, so as far as, like, people talking about, because I've been, like, I've been doing a lot of research lately, and all I'm hearing is, like, black people are always, you know, they act like they still slavery. Nobody act like it's still slavery. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, that you know, it's still, the minorities are, you know, do kind of get different treatment. You know, it does happen. I mean, we have made progression, but it does. It really, really does. Prime example, like we were saying, if that were a 30-year-old black man that killed a 17-year-old white boy, because, you know, he's 17, you're not even a man yet, then I would like to see what those results would have been. You know, so that's just a prime example right there. You know, when you walk the streets and you're black, the way you immediately just get pulled up by the police. And a lot of times it's black officers too. It's not just white. But it's just that when it's white, it's more obvious. But black officers do it too. And that's just, they're part of the sir group. They're part of the sir group. That's all. You know?
Yeah.
It does. It definitely does happen.
I mean, just like I was saying on the last show, just like if in our neighborhood, if you see some black male walking around, and he may not even be doing nothing. He could be just simply taking a freaking walk. And they'll all automatically assume that he's up to no good. Like, seriously, they'll automatically assume that he's up to no good. Like, what is he doing? He looks suspicious. Just because he's a black male. Just because of that. But then you got these little white boys that are sitting here breaking into people's homes. Like, we just had that recently happen. Somebody broke, white males broke into somebody's home. Literally, while a child was sitting inside. But they didn't think that they were suspicious. They thought, you know, they were just coming over. But they didn't look suspicious to you.
And would you believe that nowadays in time you still got people walking around talking about white power and, you know, Nazi flags and all this? Crazy, man. Like, that stuff still happens. I mean, it's not nowhere near to the degree as it was, because, you know, times have definitely changed, and it's not as susceptible as it was, you know, years ago and decades ago. But there's still, you know, you can go on YouTube and do your research, and you'll be surprised at things you would find. And, like, you know, I'm seeing videos with people, you know, recently, within the last few years, even all the way up till this year, like, you know, rallies and all of that stuff. It's just crazy, you know, like, to see that kind of stuff still happening, you know, which shows you that it still is an issue that needs to, you know, definitely needs to be addressed. I see one video where this Hispanic guy, I think he's Mexican, he's like, you can find it, anyone can find it on YouTube. He goes around and talks to different people who are pretty much racist, and they're going around holding up signs, or, you know, they're rallying, and he's going up to people asking them questions, and they're calling him, you know, racial slurs, and, you know, they'll talk to him, but they'll say they're racist slurs, and, like, he'll, like, you know, go back and forth with them, and it's crazy. Like, You got to YouTube it. Like, you know, people should definitely YouTube it and just see it just to understand. Like, you know, because, like, blacks aren't the only victims. Like, you know, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Hispanics, like, they get targeted too, because we're all minorities, you know, because there are over 200 million white Americans in the United States. And from research, statistically speaking, can't say 100%, but just statistically speaking, there's about 40 million black, 50 million Hispanics. Now, that's statistically. You might go to a different, you might do some research and find the numbers a little different, but, you know, from statistics and research, 200 million white Americans compared to 100 million black and Hispanic, you know. So, I mean, minorities, because clearly is more white Americans in the country than black and Hispanic combined. So, you know, we are definitely minorities, and, you know, definitely get the same treatment. Like, you know, get the same type of experiences. And, you know, basically I'm just saying that, you know, blacks aren't the only victims. You know, it happens. Like, I'm seeing all types of, like, things. Like, man, it's amazing what you can find on the internet. I'm like, wow, like, really? Like, it's crazy. Like, people just rallying and yelling racial slurs and saying, like, it was some teenagers on a bus stop, and, like, this white guy's, like, saying the crazy racist stuff to them and saying they live with cockroaches, and I'm like, wow. Like,
oh, wow.
Teenagers. It was teenagers, but the guy recording, you know, I guess he was older or whatever, and he was saying his little stuff back, but he wasn't being racist. He was just, you know, saying what he said, like, yeah, well, you're from Europe. You don't originate in this country neither. It was kind of funny, but it wasn't funny because it was racist. It was, you know, it was just funny, like, how he was, like, the Mexican guy was, like, saying stuff back, and it was kind of funny. But the whole racial part definitely wasn't funny. And I'm just like, wow. So, you know, people got to be reminded that other people, like, feel it too. And, I mean, white people are victims of racism too.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, black people are guilty of racism, and nobody gets singled out. Like, you know, I say that, you know, because it does happen. But it does definitely happen. And since the Trayvon Martin thing, you know, it's been more reports of it. But I will say this. You're talking to somebody who lived in the hood, you know. So I know, like, urban communities are very acceptable to white people. Like, I'm not saying everybody is, every black family is, but very acceptable. Like, I've seen many of white people, like, come around being, you know, in urban communities in the hood, and they're accepted. I mean, they can even say the N-word, and it's fine, just like how black people can say it, and it's fine. And, you know, it's not like how it was years ago. Like, if a white person walked through the neighborhood, they might get jumped. I mean, they're only as much of a target as the next black man that's not from that neighborhood. You know, it's not like, you know, and I know every area is different. I can't say every area. There's some people that probably are racist, you know, so. But I'm saying, just statistically speaking, it seems like that, you know, black America has accepted white America a little more, you know, based on statistics. You know, I can't name one black person I know that's like, you know, I don't like white people. You know, unless they're into some type of, like, you know, belief, religion thing going on. Because I've had some people come up to me and it's like, yeah, well, you know the white man is the devil. And I'm like, what?
God.
Like, nah. Yeah, I've had that happen. And, you know, I don't feed into that. You know, I'm not feeding into that. That's not my belief, you know. And so that's racist. It really is. And, you know, you're guilty. You're as guilty as any white person saying, you know, whatever racial slurs they had to say about black people. You know, but, yeah, I've had people do it. It's crazy. Racism is, I don't care what race you are, is wrong. It's just, it's not only wrong, it's ignorant, it's stupid. It's, like, words can't even describe it to me, like.
Yeah.
Wow. Especially
yeah, like,
grown, you know better. You got kids and grandkids in this world, and you're trying to teach them to treat people different. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's always, well, what was you saying, isn't it?
Yeah, like you were saying about black people, like, being more accepting. Like a group of us, you know, my job, we were talking about that. And one of my managers, she's white, and she said, you know, she went to the city, and she was just so shocked because, you know, in the city, majority is black. Like, majority, she was like, she would say about 25% was, like, white. And a lot of the rest was black, and she was, like, she was just so shocked after, like, when she would go into a bar or something like that, and majority of them would be black, of course, and she was just, like, she was so shocked that she didn't get stared at for being, like, the only white person there. She was, like, they were just so accepting. Like, she was very shocked to see how welcome they were they weren't talking about her or nothing like that. They were very friendly and all that. I was shocked because it's so different here. Like, it's so different. You walk into a bar here, and if the majority of it is white, you're going to get looked at. If you're the only black person, you're going to get looked at like, what are you doing here? Like, what is going on here?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I remember one time me and a few relatives and a few friends had went to a bar. And we went to a bar, and it was in the city, too. I believe it was in the city. If it wasn't, it was right there near the county. It was, like, either in the city or just barely in the county. It wasn't far. As you know, where I live, you know, is, you know, there's a lot of black, way more black than whites, but it's everybody, you know. It's like, and there are areas that definitely white and black people live together. So this isn't a completely segregated city. It's definitely not.
Right.
And we go to the bar, and as soon as we go to the door, and as soon as you could just see, you could feel the tension. You could see the way they was looking at us. It was crazy. Like, I had been to many bars in my life, and it was just really weird to see, to be looked at that way. And they were like, oh, I forgot what they said. This was years ago. But they were like, there was a look. And then they was like, well, it was like they was trying to find any reason not to let us in. Like, something about the dress code. It was something like, I don't know. It was one of us had on a shirt or something. And it was like, oh, we'll go to the car and change. It was like, oh, well, something about something. I forgot. It was a while ago. But, like, it was like two or three different reasons that they gave us that, you know, they didn't want to let us in. I think we was just going to, it was like one of those places that, it was like a sports bar, like that served food. And I think we was going there to eat. And they were like, well, I think it was something like, well, you don't have your ID, you can't eat. And it's like, what? Like, we just came here to eat. And it's like, yeah, but you don't have your ID. Or something like that. It was ridiculous. I want to say that's what it was. It was a while ago. It was completely ridiculous, and we just really felt like we were racially profiled, just like Trayvon Martin was, you know, like racially profiled, and they were going to do anything to make sure we didn't come in that bar.
Right.
And this wasn't like no bar. This was like a place where you go to eat. They just so happened to serve alcohol. You know, like Ruby Tuesdays and TGIF. You know. Like, places like that. Like, you know, I never went to a restaurant before and couldn't get in. Have you? Have you ever had them charge you at a restaurant just to go in to eat? Like, really? Like,
no.
It's crazy. So, and everybody in there was white. Like, we was the only black people. Like, the look on people's faces when they seen us at the door was just, like, priceless. It was, like, wow. Like, are you kidding me? So, I mean, I've actually witnessed it myself, and it's just nuts. It's just real crazy. It's a weird feeling, you know, especially when you come from where I come from, because, you know, you won't experience a lot of racism. I mean, yeah, you won't experience a lot of racism because this is a place that, you know, white and black people live together, and you don't hear about it that much. It just doesn't happen that much. Now, down south, I think it's a lot worse. I hear all types of stories about stuff that don't even necessarily make the mainstream media. That happens down south still, you know, people's all types of stuff and crazy, like all types of symbols and representing, you know, the whole Nazi movement and all of this crazy stuff. And it's like, man, it's ridiculous, man. It's 2013, man. It's ridiculous. Like we said last show, we ain't going nowhere. The Mexicans ain't going nowhere. The Puerto Ricans ain't going nowhere. The blacks ain't going nowhere. The Asians ain't going away. It is what it is. You got to accept it, you know.
So. Right.
You got to accept it, white America. I'm sorry, you do. And just like we got to accept white America, too. Y'all ain't going away. We ain't going away. It is what it is. The minority's here to stay. Whites are here to stay. Blacks, everybody, we're here to stay. We got to find a way to coexist. Point blank. Now, there's somebody that I wanted to speak on that I didn't get a chance the last show. And that is a guy by the name of Ted Nugent. I wanted to speak on him. He was on a show called The Alex Jones Show. And InfoWars, yeah. So anybody that's, you know, familiar with the internet and searching, you know, different things that's happening and events and, you know, don't necessarily always look for the mainstream media's viewpoint, they'll know about Alex Jones and they'll know about InfoWars. And I found this discussion interesting. It was a phone discussion. I didn't really know who Ted Nugent was until I seen this interview. And Nizzy Nay, you seen this interview, right?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, no, hold up. Now, hold up. Let's refresh him back. Let's rewind back. Remember, I was like, watch this, and you said you watched it. I think you told me you watched it. And it
no,
was
I
a
didn't.
Phone interview.
No, I watched the
so you lied.
Right.
So you lied to me. You told me on air that you lied to me. You told me you watched it, and you didn't.
Well, I was probably half asleep.
Really? Okay. Well, I know there's a number of videos that you were supposed to watch, so maybe when I talk about it, you'll – maybe it'll ring a bell because I could have sworn you told me you did watch it. So basically, where do we even start? He's someone who's like, you know, in a rock. He's a, like a, I guess you could call him a rock star. He's a known in the rock and roll industry. I can't say, I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame. He's been around for a long time. He's like an older guy. And, you know, he's into politics and all of this stuff. And he had his own viewpoints in the whole Zimmerman Trayvon Martin situation. He said George Zimmerman conducted the most admirable function of an American as a neighborhood watchman. Now these are, as usual, all quotes from him. He said ABC and other networks absolutely criminally, dishonestly, and unprofessionally manipulated the 911 tapes in order to fan the flames of racism that did not exist otherwise. He also called 17-year-old deceased Trayvon Martin a dope-smoking gangster wannabe and said Trayvon Martin was a little boy, but yet he said he's a 17-year-old perfectly fit athlete. Now, keep in mind, Trayvon Martin was 5'11", 160, soaking wet 160. I think they say he was 158. He's, you know, explaining Trayvon Martin to be this big, cocky, diesel, bodybuilding, lifting, linebacker-sized, teenage-slash-grown man. That's the way he's describing him. He then says, the bullet found Trayvon Martin's heart and did what all good people need to do, neutralize the life-threatening force. Yes, these are his actual quotes. Neutralize the life-threatening force. I'm like, wow, he sounds like he's trying to write a novel or something. It's crazy.
Right.
He said Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are race-baiting gangsters and call Al Sharpton Al Not-So-Sharpton. Yes, this is all things he said. He said, the jewelry said, eat me, racist. It was self-defense. Case closed. And, I mean, the way he said it, you could hear the passion. It was like, wow, really? He said, there's not a racist bone in George Zimmerman's body or his family, and even though the Martin family is manipulated, they claim they're going to sue George Zimmerman for civil rights. And he said he prays that Americans will make cash donations to George Zimmerman, and parents should tell their kids if they don't want to end up like Trayvon Martin, don't smoke dope, don't want to be a gangster, and don't attack people. Case closed.
Oh, wow.
These are all his quotes. And I find that funny. It's like, it's 2013. Like, who calls marijuana dope? Like, it's marijuana. It's weed. It's green. We all know what it is. It's not dope. You can't compare. Like, that's an old school term. So you're basically stuck in 1950, 60, 70. You're stuck in old school, like the old ways. You're stuck in back in the days when black people still ain't have all their rights, talking like dope, smoking dope. Get out of here. Those were his quotes. So I found it interesting. So I did a little research on Mr. Ted Nugent. So he has two wives. He's had two wives and has eight children, including five out of wedlock and two Lionsons almost 30 years apart. In the late 1960s, prior to his first marriage, Nugent fathered a boy. Ted Mann and a girl whom he gave up for adoption in infancy. So Mr. Spokesman for the People, Trayvon Martin, with this dope-smoking gangster, has his own little history. This did not become public knowledge until 2010. The siblings were adopted separately and had no contact with one another. The son learned the identity of his birth father in 2010. So the son didn't even know who he was, that he was his son, until 2010. Mind you, he's this, like, rock star legend or something. Like, he's well-known in the rock industry. Like, his son found his identity in 2010 through the daughter's quest to make contact with him and their birth parents. According to a news report, Nugent over the years has discussed the existence of these children with his older children. So it only came up in discussion. Like, you're sitting there at dinner, oh, yeah, well, you know what? One day I kind of, you know, crap off or whatever, and, yeah, you have a brother or sister, or a half-brother or sister that, you know, you probably didn't know about. Like, that's crazy. You know? I mean, for a person to be talking on someone like that, you know what I'm saying, Nizzy Nay? Like, to speak on Trayvon Martin the way he did and had this type of history. Now, in 2005, Nugent was involved in an illegal battle for not paying enough child support for a child he had out of wedlock in 1995. It was finally resolved when Nugent was ordered to pay $3,500 per month in child support. Now, get this. In 1978, Nugent began a relationship with a 17-year-old. Now,
oh, wow.
Pause. Mr. Ted Nugent was born December 13, 1948, 58, 68, 78. That means he was 30 years old. Let me rewind that. In 1978, Nugent began a relationship with 17-year-old Hawaii native Pele or Pel Masa. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. I don't know, but Pele Masa. That's the way I'm pronouncing it. Pele Masa is a Hawaiian native, 17 years old. He was 30. Due to the age difference, they could not marry, so Nugent joined Masa's parents in signing documents to make himself her legal guardian, an arrangement that Spin magazine ranked in October 2000 as number 63 on their list of the 100 sleaziest moments in rock.
Wow.
Once again, Ted Nugent was born in December 13, 1948. You do the math. He was 30 years old. I got one word for that. Pedophile. So we're listening to this rock star pedophile try to degrade Trayvon Martin and make him out to be a dope-smoking gangster wannabe. I was like, wow. And when I found out this information about him, I'm like, are you serious? Like, really? Like,
he don't have no right to judge anybody whatsoever.
And we're supposed to listen to a man that's trying to marry a 17-year-old when he was 30 years old, a minor, and got in trouble for not paying child support. Like, you're pretty much a sleaze bucket.
Right.
You know, like, so I thought that was really crazy. And, like, if you hear the interview, hear the passion in his voice, he sounded like he just was loving every moment of the fact of the idea of Zimmerman shooting Trayvon Martin. And I felt really offended by that. I'm like, to me, he's pretty much racist. You know, to celebrate the death of a 17-year-old black young man, gotta be racist. You got kids. You understand what it's like to have a kid. Now, I wonder with how he would feel, and if that was his 17-year-old son that got shot and killed by George Zimmerman, would he be saying the same thing then? You know what I'm saying? So I felt a way about that. I had to bring that up. And going to talk about tell your kids don't want to be a dope-smoking gangster, want to be like Trayvon Martin if you don't want your child to get shot dead. Well, you know, people need to tell their children to not be like Ted Nugent. Don't be a pedophile. Don't want to marry a 17-year-old when you're a 30-year-old pervert. Seriously. Don't get in a situation where you even have to pay child support. multiple, two wives, eight children. You're like, go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? They're like, who is somebody with that type of resume to judge any situation?
I know.
He's a jackass. He's a jackass. I would love to call him other names that I won't want to air. He's a jackass. He's definitely a jackass. I mean, the way you, I could have sworn you said you heard it. Like, you have to actually hear the interview for yourself. Like, to hear someone celebrating, of old man celebrating the death of a young man. You know what I'm saying? So I just felt the need. Him, Ted Nugent, and Crystal Wright, like, those two had irritated me the most, like, out of everybody's interviews and stuff that I was listening to. When it came to those two people, I was, like, irritated to a level just, like, you could probably see steam coming from
like
my head.
Freaking Frank Taffy. That's what he sound like.
It definitely sounds like Frank Taffy. And then he going to say, I've got black music. Because, you know, he's like a, you know, he's a rock singer or something, a rock musician. So he says, I've got black people in my band. You know, like, he's on the road with black people. So what? Like, so you're telling me that because you're on the road with black musicians, that means you're not racist, you're not prejudiced. Like, that means automatically, like, think about back, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, think about when racist rock stars probably, you know, like, had, you know, dealings with black people in the music industry. You know, they probably had a black guitarist or bass player or something like that. You cannot sit here and tell me that because you've done music with black musicians, even toured with them, that means that you get crossed off. There's no way you're racist. There's no way you're prejudiced because you've done music with black. So what? Nobody cares. What you said about Trayvon Martin tells us. Now, you can type that up in your magazine, you jackass. Type that up. Because he was saying, like, he writes for a magazine or something. He writes for a magazine. He's into politics real heavy and all that. So if you don't know who Ted Nugent is, I invite you, anybody listening, to go Google him and go to the Alex Jones YouTube channel and listen to the interview and, you know, judge it for yourself. I mean, you might be a fan of his. You might be someone who knows exactly who I'm talking about, and you might say, oh, man, he's not racist. Well, go look for yourself.
I think I have seen that video.
Yeah, it was a video that I sent you, and you told me that you watched it. You either lied to me or you watched it and don't remember. But, yeah, definitely, man.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Hey, listen, y'all. Don't smoke marijuana. See, she said she don't remember. That's that marijuana, man. I thought we had to talk about this, Nizzy Nay. Did we ever talk about that?
Shut
No, man, but this dude, man, Ted Nugent and freaking Crystal Wright, man. If you don't know what they got, please Google them. And then feel free to, I don't know if they got Twitters or something, but feel free to, you know, give them your opinion on how you feel. I'm sure that they would love to hear how you feel. Because, you know, seriously, man, this stuff irritates the crap out of me.
He just looked like a creep, too. He looked like a creep.
Yeah, you can see the picture that we got posted of him on the for the show. And
yeah,
you can look at him like, I ain't gonna lie, as soon as I seen him, if I would have never knew who Ted Nugent was a day in my life and seen one picture, I'd be like, yeah, racist. I would have thought he was a racist. I would have stereotyped him. I would have said, I think he's a racist. I would have stereotyped him, I'm not going to lie. But I would say, I think he's a racist, but I wouldn't like, you know, see, if I see somebody that I think, you won't think the way you think. Just like if you see somebody, you might think he'll hold them, right? But I'm not going to act on it. I'm not going to say nothing to him. I'm not going to follow him. I'm going to mind my business and go on about the same thing Zimmerman should have did. Mind your business. People are going to profile and stereotype, but you don't have to act on it. That's what makes you wrong. Following somebody makes you wrong. You know? Because, heck, I can't even say. If Zimmerman would have followed me, I might have would have knocked him out, too. I probably would have beat the crap out of him, too. I might have would have. He might have called one of them Floyd Mayweather's messing around with me. See, I'm a grown man. I ain't trying to hear all that Zimmerman with it. He would have got warned. And after that, that would have been all. It would give you one warning, like, man, I'm telling you now, you better go here somewhere. No, come here. Oh, that's it. Put the boxing gloves on, hit the bell, rap is on and popping now. I'm not letting nobody. You know what I'm saying? Picture, I mean, isn't that, you had some mace on you, and you see this Hispanic-looking guy with all this facial hair looking like a creep coming up on you. Tell me you're not going to mace him. Tell me you're not going to mace him.
Of course I'm going to mace him.
Excuse me, where are you going? First of all, you see him following you in your car, in his car, while you're walking, minding your business. He gets out of his car, excuse me. Hey, you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's just like, man.
Yeah.
People are going to stereotype.
He
I mean, realistically speaking. What was you saying, Disney Knight?
So, yeah, he's going to get that mace. And
exactly. You better hope I'm out with you, because after you mace him, I'm going to stomp him. You mace him. It's going to be a tag team. It's going to be WWE. You mace him, I'm coming off the top rope with an elbow. I'm Macho Man Randy Savage in them. For real. You better go here somewhere. Nobody. So, I mean, we just felt like we just had to touch on this. You know, we just had to, you know, finish getting this off our chest so we can just breathe. And, you know, we want to move on from the racism thing because it happens, but, you know, it's not something that has to, like, be discussed by the media every day, all day. You know, this whole thing, everybody's like they're trying to start a race war. And it does, the media does a good job of making it seem that way by really presenting it the way they do. You know, we can move on. You know, we can move on from this stuff. We can try to progress, but move on. You know, and that's what it's time to do. You know, so we just had to get this stuff off our chest. And with that being said, we're almost out of time. So, as usual, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us. And once again, you're listening to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tay Real.
I'm your co-host, Nizine.
And as always, you can catch us on Mondays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-838-9540.
Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at It's Real Radio MD, or you can just shoot us an email at itsrealtalkradio@yahoo.com.
One last thing before we close. Marvin is not dope. Marijuana is not dope. I'm sorry. And I don't even smoke marijuana, but, like, people calling marijuana dope is crazy to me. I had to say that. Like, that's crazy to me. Marijuana it ain't hurting nobody. People smoke, like, you know, you can't say because somebody smokes marijuana, they're going to go into this rage and start beating people up. Marijuana does not have that effect. So run tell that, racist. And with that being said, stay tuned for the next episode. Peace and love. Good night, y'all.
Everybody, good night.